This podcast is brought to you by Viva Global. Experience the difference with Viva. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Well, I'm going to talk now to the Asian Games' Paul Williams about this game and, you know, what victory might do to disgrace the competition.
Yes, the Asian Game podcast. Paul Williams joins us now to talk the Asian Champions League. Paul, we hope you had a nice Easter, and it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back. I hope you had a nice Easter too. It was spoiled a little bit by Victory's loss over here in Adelaide on Friday night, but an enjoyable Easter nonetheless.
Paul, were you in attendance? I know you're a Victory fan living in Adelaide.
I was in attendance for that one, yes. It was. I had some family and friends come across to attend that game, so it was quite an enjoyable build-up, but not the result that we were after on Friday night.
Not at all, and certainly a couple of weeks ago, not the result the Victory were looking for over in China. Completely outplayed, and I think outcoached as well. And when you've got, you know, players with the individual talent of Anderson, Talisca, and Paulinho, and et cetera, and so on, you know, it's always going to be an uphill battle. But now they've left themselves with virtually no hope of progressing, and it looks like they're going to throw in the reserves tonight.
Yeah, reading Kevin Muscat's comments, that certainly looks to be the case. I mean, mathematically, there's probably a 1% chance that they could get through. So, you know, they'd have to win all three games and hope other results go their way. It's nigh on impossible from the position that they're in. And it's such a disappointing thing that they're only halfway through the campaign and they're already packing in the towel because they've been so poor in their opening games. And I made this comment a couple of weeks ago. I think, you know, Victory just have to learn, and you would have thought they might have learnt that by now, how to actually approach the Champions League. I think it's a little bit naive to think you can just go out and play your style of football in every single game and it's going to work in every single game. You have to adapt to the circumstances, adapt to the conditions, adapt to the team that you're playing against. And I don't think we've seen that from Melbourne Victory. I think that Cannavaro made those exact comments in the press conference this week in that, you know, they have to play differently in the Champions League as to how they would play in the Chinese Super League. And if they don't, they would get themselves into trouble. And yet it seems Melbourne Victory and Kevin Muscat are almost stubborn in their approach that they want to go out and try and have success playing their style of game. And it's shown over time that they're just incapable of doing that. They don't have the talent yet to be able to do that. And they're reluctant to, you know, to switch to a more defensive style of game that may perhaps get them the results that they crave. But you know, they seem to be stubborn in their approach, and we may see it again tonight. And, you know, if Talisca and Paulinho and that are allowed to have free reign as they did a couple of weeks ago in Guangzhou, then, you know, with a team of kids out there, then it could be a very long night for Melbourne Victory.
And it was telling in their last game, with Melbourne Victory's defence, they gave, as you've touched on, Talisca way too much space, and he was able to capitalise. And that's just something you can't do when you have the quality of those Brazilians on the pitch.
Yeah, it is, and you have to question, you know, how much preparation goes into these games, and how much information are the players given in terms of the players that they're going to be playing against? How much vision do they have? How much analysis is done? We know it's not easy to see, you know, the Chinese Super League here in Australia. It is available through an online streaming service. But how much reconnaissance the Melbourne Victory coaching staff doing? Because anyone who's seen Talisca plays knows that you just don't show him onto his left foot anywhere around that area on the edge of the box because he's so deadly. And that's what Melbourne Victory did. They gave him those opportunities. And you have to wonder, were the defence warned about the dangers of Talisca and what preparation went into that game? I still question the decision to not include Georg Niedermeyer in the Asian Champions League squad for me, even though he probably hasn't had the season Victory expected him to have. He's an experienced defender, and you bring someone like that in to the Champions League because you have to, you know, build success on the back of a strong defence. And you know, he is in Victory's best 11 in the A-League, so that should serve to reason that he should be in the best 11 in the Champions League and help shore up that defence. And I think not having him at the back has cost them a little bit, and you have to play Broxham, whether that's as a centre-back or a full-back. All of a sudden, you're starting to put square pegs into round holes, and as soon as you do that in the Champions League, you're going to be completely up against it.
You know, I think Sydney FC maybe found the same thing when they left Yordie Boyce out of their squad last season.
Exactly. Yep.
Having said all that, Paul, do you give Victory any chance tonight? I mean, there are the certain caveats that Chinese teams don't tend to travel well. And also Victory, when they throw in reserves players, I mean, they have beaten Guangzhou before. And the seemingly random results where, you know, Jai Ingham scores a header or something, these weird things tend to happen when Victory play their reserves in the Champions League. And usually they're in dead rubber games. But do you give them any chance tonight?
Strangely enough, I do. Because of that very reason that we've seen over the years that Chinese clubs don't tend to travel that well when they come to Australia. We saw Sydney the other week should have beaten SIPG. We know Victory have beaten SIPG and Guangzhou at home before, and we know Victory's record at home, aside from the loss against Daegu at the start of this campaign, is exceptional in the Champions League. So for that reason, I do give them some chance in amongst my little circle of Asian football journalists. We have a little private WhatsApp group where we do our predictions every week for the Champions League. I've tipped a draw for the game tonight. I'm not sure Melbourne Victory have the quality to go out and get all 3 points that they would need to have any chance of progressing. But I think they can get something out of this game tonight, simply for the fact that, you know, as we've discussed, that the Chinese teams generally don't travel well to Australia, and Victory have a good record at home. So I'm tipping a draw, probably a score draw, maybe a 1-1 or a 2-2.
Okay. Well, Sydney FC are away to Shanghai SIPG tonight. And unfortunately, they switched off in the final minutes of their game a couple of weeks ago and had to settle for a draw. I'm sure that felt like a loss. What do you think might happen in tonight's match? Do you think that it could be a little bit more improved?
It's going to be very difficult. Shanghai is a very difficult place to travel to. They've got a very good record at home, not only domestically, but also in the Champions League. They're a team that, as we've seen against Victory in the past, they don't tend to travel all that well to Australia. So that gave Sydney some advantage a couple of weeks ago. But in the return leg, we saw it when Melbourne Victory played there last year and Oscar and Hulk, and they had Wu Lei back then. But they just tore Victory to shreds at times. And I fear it could be a little bit like that for Sydney FC tonight. As I said, when you look at what, you know, Shanghai were able to do, pick up a point, score 3 goals on the road, some silly mistakes from Sydney FC playing at home in front of their own supporter base. I think Sydney FC could be in for some trouble tonight.
What was the reaction, do you know, Paul, in China to that draw in the last match? I mean, I was really surprised by some of the shambolic defending from SIPG. Obviously, they've got fantastic attacking talent in their side, but, you know, they didn't seem to be able to deal with crosses. There were quite a few, you know, almost comedy moments.
I'm not sure the specific reaction, but I mean, I know defending has certainly been the Achilles heel of SIPG for a number of years now, as it is for quite a few of the Chinese teams. They tend to, you know, all their imports are generally the attacking players, whether they're strikers or attacking midfielders. So they, you know, they tend to have very much almost an all Chinese backline for the most part. And you know, Guangzhou Evergrande probably have the best of the lot in terms of Chinese defenders. So SIPG's defence has been shambolic for a number of years now. If we're honest, they've struggled at times domestically as well. They were able to obviously win the championship last year, but as you saw against Sydney FC, you know, there is opportunities to exploit them because, you know, at set pieces, they can be a little bit unorganised. You can catch them out when you try and play through them as well. So in that respect, there is hope because it is their Achilles heel, but I just expect they have too much firepower going the other way.
So what have you tipped for this game, Paul?
I've tipped an SIPG win for this one. I think they'll probably a 2 or 3 nil win for this one, I think, for SIPG. They're normally pretty comfortable at home.
Well, it's tough to disagree there. Given that the Australian teams, you know, maybe aren't the most interesting games of this round, Paul, with Victory, you know, almost throwing in the towel tonight, what are some of the games that you're looking forward to in this round? Because, you know, there's quite a few high-profile matchups. I mean, Miloš Deganek's got an interesting game over in Al-Hilal.
Yeah, I mean, on the west side of the draw, I mean, some of the groups on the west side of the draw, the matchups there's groups of death everywhere you look. It's particularly on the eastern side of the draw for me. The one that I'm looking forward to is JDT against Shandong Luneng, the Malaysian champions up against the Chinese team. JDT, they went to China a couple of weeks ago. Very unlucky to not come away with a result from that game. Safawi Rashid, who's a player that I have very high raps on, scored a fantastic goal. They hit the crossbar in the final minute of the game that would have seen them earn a draw. At home, they're very difficult to play against. They played Gyeongnam there a couple of weeks ago and battered them, hit the crossbar a couple of times late in the game. They should have picked up all 3 points in that. I actually give them a chance to knock off Shandong Luneng tonight, which would be a historic moment for the Malaysian club side if they were to do that. And I think the other one that's slightly interesting is Daegu against Sanfrecce, the other game in Melbourne Victory's group. We saw Sanfrecce get the 2-0 win in Japan last week, and probably against expectations, they're not doing too badly now in the Champions League. They've picked up back-to-back wins. They're doing well in the J-League. It'll be interesting to see how they go travelling to Korea as to whether they can get a result or whether Daegu can make up for that loss a couple of weeks ago. They're two teams I didn't expect to get out of this group, so it looks like one of them will, and I think tonight's match could go a long way in determining which one of those teams will actually get out of the group.
Just on JDT, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the full name, but Alistair Edwards, I believe, is the technical director there, and they seem to have a sensational atmosphere at their games.
They do. They are one of the shining lights in Southeast Asian football. Ali Edwards has been there now for probably 2 or 3 years, I think, and has done some fantastic work. They've really built a good squad for this Champions League campaign. They are by far and away the best club in Malaysia. I think they've won the last 4 Malaysian Super League titles. They'll win it again this year. They have unbelievable facilities that would be the envy of clubs anywhere in the world, let alone anywhere across Asia or in Australia. And they're building a brand new 30,000-seat stadium. The stadium they play at the moment, the Larkin Stadium, is generally full for their games, especially their Champions League games. I expect it will be rocking tomorrow night. Their game is. I expect it will be rocking for that. And that gives such a lift to the players. So I'm super impressed with what that club does on and off the pitch. We know there's often issues in Malaysia in terms of the professionalism. You hear some of the stories that some of the Aussie boys go over there and come back and tell you. It leaves a lot to be desired, but JDT are leading the way in that regard. Such a professional outfit on and off the pitch, and it's good to see an Aussie involved there who doesn't get the credit he probably deserves in Ali Edwards. He's doing a fantastic job. So I really hope JDT do well. They've targeted the Champions League for probably the last 3 years. They've got the opportunity. It'd be great to see them do well and pick up a win, which I think they can do. I've tipped them to get the win. So I'm really looking forward to that one tomorrow night.
And we saw that there were 2 games played this morning, and in one of them, Chavi scored for Al Sadd in their win.
Yeah, there was 4 games this morning because the west side of the draw does the Monday, Tuesday match days. Chavi scored for Al Sadd in their win against Paktakor, I think it was, the Uzbek club. That puts them on to top of their group. I think there were some other big results this morning as well. Al Wahda, the UAE club, were 2-0 down, came back to win 4-3. They're a surprise packet in this group. I expected them to finish bottom of their group. They're currently top and undefeated, I don't think they've lost a game. And Al Ittihad as well, I think, had a win. The Saudi Giants, who possibly could get relegated in the Saudi Pro League, but they're doing well in the Champions League as well. So the west side of the draw is just completely fascinating. It's a tipster's nightmare. Thankfully, our tipping group is only focused on the east side of the draw at this stage, because I'd be completely lost if I had to do the west side as well. It's a little bit like the AFL tipping at the moment. It's just completely all over the shop. Results don't go as expected. So it's really exciting on that side of the draw as well.
Yeah, and a familiar name in Omar Al-Soma getting a couple of goals for Al-Ahli this morning as well. So, yeah, the results, as you say, are topsy-turvy. They're absolutely stacked groups, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of the Western teams actually won the whole thing this season.
Yeah, I think there's some really good teams. I like the Qatari teams. Al-Sadd in particular, they just missed out on making the final last year. Xavi had a header that was miraculously saved by Alireza Birinvand, the Iranian goalkeeper, in the dying minutes of their semi-final. If he scores that, Al Sadd go through to the final instead of Persepolis. They've got an unbelievable squad. They smashed it in the Qatar Stars League. They finished a mile clear on top of the table. They scored 100 goals. They've got unbelievable talent in Baghdad Bounedjah, Akram Afif, and so their left back, whose name just escapes me at the moment, Abdul Karim Hassan, sorry, the Qatari left back. So they've got an unbelievable squad. They've got Xavi in there as well. So they've got an unbelievable squad that's built for success in the Champions League. So they're a team that I think can do really, really well. And I expect them to probably be the team that goes into the final from West Asia this year.
Well, Paul, I'll just ask you one more before we let you go. Given, you know, JDT, you know, they've brought such great crowds, it seems as if teams in Southeast Asia, you know, tend to really value the competition and bring in huge crowds. It's such an occasion for them and, you know, they're competitive as well. Do you think the AFC should consider, I know there's coefficients involved and so forth, but including, you know, more of the small countries, especially on the east side of the draw, to make it through to the group stage, given that maybe some of the Japanese teams and so forth don't seem to value it so highly?
100%. I've been banging this drum for quite a while now. I would take some places off Japan, Korea, China. I think the maximum that any nation should be able to have is 2+1 rather than 3+1, as it is at the moment, and give those extra spots further down the food chain, if you want to call it that, to nations from Southeast Asia. We've seen, you know, JDT do well, Buriram do well. They probably don't get the crowds that they deserve to get, and they got in the Champions League a few years ago, but they get through to the knockouts, you'll see that stadium get packed out. We've seen Mung Tong do well in the past. You know, I'd love to see more Southeast Asian representation because they do genuinely value, you know, playing in that competition and testing themselves against an elite club. I'd love to see clubs from Indonesia, whether that's Persija Jakarta or Hanoi from Vietnam. I'd love to see them in the Champions League. You know, Hanoi in their playoff against Shandong Luneng, they led 1-0 at halftime. They got overrun a little bit in the second half, but they were able to compete and they did really well in that game against Shandong. And we're seeing it with, you know, JDT in this campaign as well. A lot of people thought they'd be, you know, just cannon fodder and they'd, you know, be losing 4-5, 6-0. But, you know, they've shown they can match it with these teams, and Buriram's doing that as well. And I think for Asian football to grow, you've got to grow from the ground up. You're only as strong as your weakest link, as they say. So these clubs are only going to get better if they're given the opportunities to develop and play at a higher level. So I certainly think that there should be more representation across the Champions League in general, and that goes for the West as well. There's some fantastic teams further down the food chain in the West as well that I think should be given the opportunity to compete in the Champions League.
Paul, we'll leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us on Evenings on FNR, and enjoy all the action tonight and tomorrow.
You too. Hopefully we get some good results for the Australian teams this week. Enjoy.